Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read just a few verses from the scriptures, words of invitation, words of warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Oh, friends, how vital these words are for us in 2015. The Lord Jesus Christ says, here are those to whom heaven belongs. Those who are poor in spirit. Those who know they're bankrupt. Those who know that their souls have no credit in the sight of heaven. Oh, friends, what is it that qualifies us for God? Qualifies us for heaven. Qualifies us to have our prayers answered and our worship received. Only a poverty of spirit. A knowledge that we're sinful. A knowledge that we need great forgiveness and mercy from the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Oh, friends, how do you think you can go to heaven this morning? Think you can go in the wealth that is your own? The hymn writer warns us against it. Oh, friends, we need God's grace. We need God's mercy. We need God's pardon and cleansing. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, said this, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." Those who know they've got nothing but debt to bring into the sight of heaven. You see yourself, friends, as God sees you, poor and naked and wretched and blind. Here is how God sees us. Oh, friends, he sees behind the mask of pretense, of hypocrisy, of deceit. He knows our real heart. He knows our real poverty. And here is the blessing of God. It comes upon those who are straightforward, those who are honest, those who own up, those who confess their sin. You know, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, said this, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, friends, don't we need that washing this morning? If you survey your past years, your past decades, what a record of sin. What a record of debt. What a record of depravity and uncleanness lies in every heart. Even of the life of the most righteous man or woman in Lewisham. We need his grace. The Lord Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Some of the preachers, friends, will say to you, God only meant you to be rich. God only meant you to be wealthy. God only meant you to be healthy. But here's what the Lord Jesus Christ starts with, a poverty of spirit. A knowledge, friends, that we're indebted, that we're distressed, that we're indebted to God for all that we have and all that we are. We need his mercy, friends. We need reconciliation with the Most High God. By nature, we're his enemies. By nature, we're his debtors. By nature, friends, we have a huge amount, a huge account with the living God. We don't see it. Our ways are clean in our own eyes. Our account seems so light in our own eyes. But friends, when we see things as they really are, under the searchlight of God's holy law, how deeply indebted we are to him. Christ starts with this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Friends, don't you see that is that root of bitterness in your own heart? That leprosy of leprosies? That cancer of pride? That creeping vine of selfishness and uncleanness? We need his washing. We need his power. We need his blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In the cross, in the Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, there is mercy, there is purity, there is cleansing. You know, the old prophet Zechariah said this, "Opened in Jerusalem is a fountain for sin and uncleanness." Why would you be filthy? Why would you be unwashed? Why would you be unclean in the sight of God? Come to the fountain and wash your heart. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, not to a Roman Catholic priest, not to some vain and sinful man or woman, but to the Saviour, to the Lord Jesus, to the Messiah, there is a fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness. In him, friends, is that purity within, not in outward clothes, not in vestments or in garbs, but in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God through his dear Son. In Christ, there is a fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness. By his death, by his wounds, the most sinful man or woman in Lewish can come back and wash and be clean and be fresh in the sight of the living God. Oh, friends, here is something worth hungering for. Here is something worth seeking after. Don't throw away your eternal soul on vanities, on futility. Don't throw away your eternal existence on things of no consequence. Seek the things that endure. Don't you know, friends, the things that we see and touch and feel are temporal, ephemeral. They pass away. The glory of man is like the flower of the field. It rises and flourishes and then it fades away. The best of us, friends, shortly accumulates grey hairs and wrinkles. But in Christ, there is the eternal truth of God. There is the warning of God to us to seek righteousness, to seek wisdom, to seek a godly heart and a pure spirit while there's still opportunity. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, friends, if only we knew that sorrow for sin, that conviction for our uncleanness, that need of righteousness that we have, all of us, within us. Seek him and turn to him while there's still time. The Lord Jesus Christ said this too, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, friends, the worldly ones, the wise ones, scoff at such words. But our friends, look at the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There was one imbued with a spirit of meekness, imbued with a spirit of righteousness and judgment. And our friends, how he was maltreated. Men did their worst against the Christ. And yet look at his response. Full of meekness, full of strength, full of self-control. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, friends, here is the real spirit of Christ. A spirit of judgment and righteousness born in his own body. Why did he suffer on the cross, friends? Why did he suffer and die? Why did he bear the sins of others? Why did he go with such patience and meekness to the suffering of death, the torture of the cross, and to the resurrection from the dead thereafter? Friends, because he knew God's mind. He knew God's purpose. He knew the truth of what he'd said before. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, friends, those who clutch at riches, those who trample over others, those who grasp at the here and now, friends, they'll have nothing very shortly. The richest man in England, what will he shortly have? 6 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, friends, don't be foolish. Don't be careless with your eternal soul. Seek wisdom. Seek righteousness. Seek his grace and his power to cleanse and to wash while he may still be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us fit in his holy sight. But the fourth beatitude, the fourth prescription for happiness is this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are you hungering for this morning? For beauty, for popularity, for favour? These things will pass away. These things are frail. These things will disappear from your hands before you know it. Oh, friends, here is the thing to be sought after. Righteousness, purity of heart, strength of soul, integrity and virtue. Here are the things to be coveted for and sought for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Friends, why do you hunger for things that will fade away? Things that will never satisfy your heart of hearts? Don't you know the secret of real happiness is holiness? Don't you know, friends, the real secret of a contented life is humility and grace. Grace from God, undeserved favour and kindness. Don't you know, friends, to the wicked there is no peace. They're like the troubled sea that casts up its mire. Hear the prescription for happiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's an invitation. Sorry, can I give you something a bit more meaty than that? Sorry to keep you. There we are. That's the one. My pleasure. God bless. Bye-bye. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Friends, here is the thing that really matters. What are you chasing after in life? Chasing after a bigger car? A bigger bank balance? These things will fail you. They'll disappoint you. When you're facing trouble and difficulty, when you face the deathbed, what use is your bank balance? What value, friends, is a big Mercedes-Benz that rusts and becomes nothing after 20 years? What value is a circle of friends that fly away like a flock of crows? Seek righteousness. Seek wisdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is what really counts, friends. Seek after the wisdom of God. Seek after holiness and purity of heart. Here is the root of a satisfied and a happy life. Righteousness, real righteousness, that comes from Christ. Not some showy church, not some outward garment, not some outward empty profession of religion. No, friends. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is what satisfies God. This is what he freely provides through the banquet of the cross. Here is what Christ came to bring us. Oh, friends, you think Christ came just to show us up? Show us a good example? Show what wicked sinners we really are? No, friends. He came to feed us with his own life, with his own broken body, with his own spilt blood. In Christ, there is a banquet of righteousness for us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But our friends, to look at our school playgrounds, to look at our young people, what are they hungering and thirsting after? Things that will do no good. Junk food. Things that will spoil the spirit. Things that will wreck them. Things that will lead their families in the future down to ruin and degradation. And don't we know it, and don't we see it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here is solid happiness, friends. Here is real contentment. Here is the heart of true satisfaction. To know God. To walk with him. To love him. To know his love towards you. In Christ, there is the great fountain, opened up for sin and uncleanness. The fifth of the Beatitudes, the prescriptions for happiness, is this. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, sometimes, friends, we think God is a million miles away. We think in the midst of trials and difficulties and temptations, where is God? But our friends, to those who are pure in heart, God is very near. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Our sins are like a cataract. They obscure our vision of glory. They obscure our vision of his grace and his character. They take away our sight. Oh, friends, you're living blind, living deaf, living dead. Oh, friends, don't you know the grace and the kindness of the living God? Don't you know his great love and goodness toward us? Don't you know his sovereign government over the nations? Or are you a foolish rebel, a curser, a swearer of God, one who tramples his law underfoot? Seek righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But you know, in that wonderful promise, there's also, in that wonderful command, there is also a wonderful promise to us. In Christ is a provision for our righteousness. In his wounded body, in his death, in his resurrection from the dead, there is a prescription for righteousness for us. There is the meal for our hungry spirits. Doesn't matter what you've been, how foolish, how careless, how sinful your life has been. In Christ is abundant grace. Where sin abounds, there grace does much more abound. Test him, prove him, taste and see that the Lord is good. In him is power to take the worst man in Woolwich and make him clean and pure in the sight of the living God. Friends, what have you done with these warnings? What have you done with this great kindness? What have you done with the invitation of God to mercy, to grace? Have you despised his patience? Despised his long-suffering? Oh, friends, you tried to pretend him out of existence? Swallow, hook, line and sinker every adult fairy tale that makes it out as though he isn't there? What a grave mistake, friends, to neglect the data. What a grave mistake to neglect the evidence. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. God commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn back, to seek him, to sorrow for sin, to ask for righteousness, for ask for that right way wherein there is peace. Oh, friends, we turn to a thousand ways that are erroneous and harmful to the spirit. But in the Saviour, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the position of the heart. There is the one who knows the vagaries of our thoughts and our motives. There is the one who knows the darkness of our condition. There is the one who knows the heartache and the tears behind the scenes. And our friends, in him is power to heal us and to bless us. Seek him. Go to him while he's still near at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't turn away a contrite sinner. He doesn't turn away those who seek him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you know, friends, if you hunger for anything else, it'll never satisfy you. Hunger for popularity, will it fill your hungry soul? Never, friends. Hunger for knowledge and for worldly wisdom, Will it satisfy your aching spirit? Never in a million worlds, friends. Where will you find true heart's ease? Where will you find solid contentment? Where will you find real happiness? Only through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through the Son of God. The Apostle John puts it this way. Here is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And the Apostle goes on to add these words. But the anger of God abides upon him. Is that your condition this morning, friends? Under a cloud of indignation? Under the judgment of banishment? Far away from God? Far away from mercy? Far away from righteousness? Here is the invitation. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, friends, doesn't matter how dark, how foolish, how perverse your heart has been, go back to the cross, and there you'll find a place of washing, a place of cleansing. In Christ is power to take our perversities and strip them away, make us straight, make us holy, make us pure in his holy sight. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Friends, nothing else will satisfy an aching heart. Nothing else will satisfy the longings and the thirstings of the Spirit. Only the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only solid peace with God. Only the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only he, friends, can satisfy an aching soul. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why are you spending your money on that which does not satisfy? Why, friends, is your aching heart more aching, more longing, more thirsting than it was 10, 15 years ago? Because you've neglected the remedy of God. You've neglected the kindness of God. You've neglected his great cross. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, friends, however dark, however foolish, however unclean your life is today, go to the cross, go to the Messiah. In him is the Prince of Peace. In him is the Lord of death and the Lord of life. There is no other. There's no one else without sin. No one else who lived a pure and holy life. Oh, friends, all other prophets will bow before him. In Christ, there is the Alpha and the Omega. There is the door, the only access point, the only mediator between man and God. Seek him. Turn to him. Oh, friends, how patient he is toward us. Despite our insults, despite our foolish days, despite our neglect, how kind, how faithful, how patient he is. What are you storing up for yourselves against the day of judgment, friends? Storing up his anger, treasuring up his indignation. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for righteousness, solid righteousness, integrity of the spirit. Ask him, friends, for that inward truth, that righteousness of the inward man. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And oh, friends, what a banquet of peace and solid discernment and perception is found in the gift of the Saviour. Oh, friends, what an abundance of kindness and patience toward us is found through the cross, through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if you're an atheist, as I once was. Oh, friends, what power and mercy and grace you'll find in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one like him. No one like him for power or for grace or for light. What have you done with his sacred name? What have you done with the Hebrew Messiah? Forsaken him like his own people in accordance with the scriptures? Oh, friends, turn to him, seek him, and in him you'll find life and grace. The Saviour said these words too. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. By nature, friends, our hearts are like a cataract, blind, unable to see, unable to perceive the glory of God and the purpose and the mind of God and the love of God toward us and the extraordinary patience of God. By nature, friends, we're like moles or bats wandering through life, striking our heads against every obstacle, falling into every temptation and snare of the soul. Oh, friends, what foolishness governs our present evil generation. What folly, friends, leads us like puppets down Satan's pathway. What wisdom we need. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, friends, that gift, that purity is a gift. It's something freely to be attained through the cross, through the blood and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is why Christ came, to purify the sons of Levi, to purify the sons of men, to take the filthy and the unclean like Magdalene, the prostitutes, or those like Zacchaeus, a hopeless and inveterate gambler and a gangster, and purify him. Give him a grateful heart. Give him a soft and a tender spirit. Make him a servant of God. Change him from darkness, being a prince of darkness, into a son of light. And this comes only through the cross. It only comes through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, why have you despised such goodness? Why have you despised such patience? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. He's not niggardly. He's not miserly. Oh, friends, the worst of us can come, as I did, and wash and be changed. Enjoy this gift of the new birth. Enjoy this gift of the Holy Spirit. Discover the power and the goodness of the living God. Seek him and turn to him. Oh, friends, it's not something optional. It is his command. Follow me, he says. Come after me. Leave this foolish and sinful and heartbroken generation behind and seek wisdom. Seek life. Seek righteousness. Seek integrity and purity. Forsake, friends, the unclean selfishness of this vile and perverse generation and seek wisdom. In Christ is the great Alpha and Omega of wisdom, the fear of God, the turning away from sin. In him is life eternal. Seek him. You know, friends, some people say, well, religion, that's just pie in the sky when you die. What rubbish. True eternal life begins the moment you turn to Christ. It is the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of the communion of God. You know, the old saint said, it's better to be in hell with Christ than in heaven without him. And I would echo that. What a glorious thing it is to know the Son of God. What a wonderful thing it is to have sins forgiven. And oh, friends, how can it be known? Except through the scriptures, except through the warnings and the gift of the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't be careless. Don't be foolish. Don't chase after traditions for their own sakes. Seek the truth and buy it and sell it not. Oh, friends, so many have traduced the truth in our own generation. Even Bible-believing pastors and evangelists have sold the truth and betrayed it. But oh, friends, the truth stands eternal. What wisdom, what grace, what power lives in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why live as a bat or a mole? Oh, friends, you might think yourself clever and able to perceive. But do you know the end from the beginning? Do you know where you're going after death? Do you know the kindness and the purpose and the mind of God? Do you know, friends, his eternal patience? Do you know his great goodness and kindness? Or, friends, you a fool, a bat, a mole, a careless one, one fit only for destruction, one of whom the scriptures say he is a son of Belial, a son of no worth, is the literal interpretation of the Hebrew. Friends, seek wisdom. Buy the gold of wisdom and humility without money and without price through the cross, through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is the Hebrew Messiah. In him is the Alpha and the Omega. In him is the Lamb of God, without whom, friends, we cannot face God. We can't face the judgment or the assize. How can we give an audit of our souls? How can we give an account for the things that we've said and done? The older we grow, the more we know that we're indebted. The more we know that we're spiritually crippled. The more that we know that we're puppets of the flesh and of our own desires. But in Christ, there is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. Seek him while he's still near at hand. Go to him for grace and for power and for washing. For without him, friends, where will you stand in the day of days? How will you bear his searching sight? How, friends, will you give an account for his 10 commandments? How will you say, I've loved him with all my heart and soul and strength, and loved my neighbour as myself, with the life that you now lead? We need washing. We need cleansing. We need his power and his grace and his kindness. Seek him while he may still be found. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a great turning back. There is a great washing, a great transformation of soul. In Christ, there, friends, is a turning back from the power of darkness. Why, friends, would you prefer the darkness to light? Why would you prefer excuses for truth? Why, friends, would you stifle out the voice of truth? Why, friends, would you strangle the voice of conscience? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't forsake his goodness. Don't forsake his patience. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ said this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Lord, friends, you won't know peace with God without the cross, without the Christ, without his power to wash and to cleanse. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't despise his patience. Don't despise his goodness. Seek him while he's still near at hand, for his sake. I'd like to read to you two words of the Apostle Paul where he says this: for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, friends, where will you find a power in heaven or on earth to free from the grip of sin? Take a natural sin like alcoholism or drug addiction. Where is there power in heaven or on earth to free a sinner from the grip of alcoholism or drug addiction? You won't find it easily. There is no such natural power. Psychologists and psychiatrists strive with all their might to free the addicts from their grip. And oh, friends, how much more insidious, how much more dangerous the sin of pride than addiction? How much more dangerous the sin of self-righteousness? How much more subtle the sin of deceitfulness or uncleanness than the sin of addiction? These are sins that grip us and hold us, to which we are willing slaves, who will not be freed until the Saviour, the Redeemer, comes. In Christ, there is power to break the chains of sin, to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. Seek him while he may still be found. Oh, friends, don't throw away your eternal soul. Don't throw away your opportunities. Don't throw away your Sunday evenings. Go to a place where you can hear the scriptures read and explained, plainly and simply, and in them find life. Oh, friends, what have you done with your eternal soul? What have you done with your prayer life? What have you done with the warnings and the kindness of the living God? Why have you neglected his arguments? Why have you stifled out his voice? Why have you neglected the voice of conscience? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Paul says this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so it is, friends. It saved me. It saved many of my friends and colleagues from the worst kinds of sins. Oh, friends, there are men and women who are ashamed of Christ here this morning in Lewisham, who are not ashamed of the most dark and foul and iniquitous things in secret corners. Oh, friends, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's power. Power to bless us. Power to wash us. Power to cleanse us. Power to break the chains of sin. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't forsake the goodness of God. Don't forsake the kindness and the mercy of the living God. Seek him while he's still near at hand. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Here is a supernatural power. A power, friends, to break chains that could not otherwise be broken. A power to cleanse the soul from sin. A power to wash us and to change us and to relieve us of the guilt and shame of sins that could not otherwise be taken away. Save yourselves from this crooked and perverse generation. Save yourselves from going down, friends, towards destruction, like a lemming, like a sheep, careless and neglectful of the righteousness and the purity of the living God. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for grace. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his kindness? What have you done with his faithful goodness? In Christ, there is to us an invitation. And there to us, too, is a flashing red light, a warning of the danger of sin. A warning of the danger of sex outside of marriage. A warning of adultery. A warning of the danger of the murder of the unborn child. A warning against the sins of our wicked generation. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In Christ, there is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. There is, as the old Hebrew prophet said, a fountain of life. Oh, friends, our thirsting souls will never know real peace, never know real happiness, without the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him, seek him, turn to him, while he's still near at hand. And this is what the Apostle Paul says: the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, so that they are without excuse. Do you know, friends, those who really from the heart believe that man evolved from microbes, from the gum, the scum of soup, the organic soup, they're kidding themselves. What a joke. Even a proper analytical biochemist will say, what nonsense to believe that the first self-repairing, self-replicating cell came into being by chance. You know, the odds are so stacked against it. A billion universes would expand and implode before such a thing took place. And yet that's the kind of mythology we're teaching our children. That the first self-repairing, self-replicating cell came into being by chance. Friends, you only need to begin to examine the problems with it to realise it's a deliberate myth. It's a willful self-delusion. Friends, there is a God, one who created, one who designed, one who knows us, one who searches us, one who weighs us, one to whom we must give an account. And all friends, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being manifest by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. Do you think in the day of judgment Richard Dawkins will be able to stand up and say, what about this and this? Friends, he won't have a word to say. I've already corresponded with him on my own points of specialty, and he has not had a word to say. He knows he's a liar. He knows he's a deceiver. And our friends, rather than expose him, our leading academics and scientists follow down after the flock. Friends, evolution, microbes to man is a myth. It's a nonsense. It's a fairy tale, an adult fairy tale. And we know it in our heart of hearts. Anyone experienced in genetics knows full well what entropy is entering into the genome, what chaos is beginning to enter into our own genetic code, how we're declining, not advancing. And yet, friends, this is firm belief in evolution. What nonsense. We are without excuse for denying our Creator, for worshipping the creature and calling her Mother Nature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Oh, friends, we are without excuse for denying the evidence, for not facing down the data, for not looking to the rocks of the earth for the evidence of its youth. We need His grace. We need His washing. God has spoken, and our friends, men love to call Him a liar. But sooner or later their lies tangle themselves up in deceit. We need His grace. We need His washing. We need His wonderful power. Here's what the apostle says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. You know what happens, friends, when we refuse to give the credit to God, when we refuse to glorify God, when we refuse to give Him the glory due to His name? He gives us over. He takes away the restraints. What do you think gay marriage is all about? It's a judicial act of judgment on our society to remove the restraints. What do you think, friends, the proliferation of homosexuality is all about in our society? It's a removal of the restraints. God gives us over. We give ourselves to the worship of the creature. As Paul describes in Romans chapter 1, He gives us over, takes away the restraints of sin. Oh, friends, seek Him. It's not too late to turn back to the living God. Not too late to turn away from the things He hates. Not too late, friends, to purify your soul of sex outside of marriage and things that will ruin your family and wreck your soul and destroy your spirit. Seek Him and turn to Him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to His own generation and He said this. This is a sinful and adulterous generation. And He was speaking of a society in which adultery was a shame. He was speaking, friends, of a society in which bastards were called bastards. Children born out of wedlock, friends, were a shame and a disgrace. How much more He'd say it to our society. You know what Solomon said of adultery? It creates a wound and a disgrace. It brings a wound to the soul and the spirit. It coarsens us, debases us, enslaves us, degrades us. In Christ is power to wash us and to refine us. Turn back from sin. Why, friends, would you delight in the things that will harm? Why, friends, what's the benefit? Even the government health statistics warn against sex outside of marriage, if only they're read carefully. Go to Health Trends and you'll see exactly what I mean. Look, friends, at the longevity of a marriage to those who've had sex outside of marriage before the marriage contract was entered into. It's shorter. More divorces, more unhappiness for the children, more difficulties. Oh, friends, let's get real. We're sowing to the flesh and we're reaping corruption. The sad thing is we don't want to hear the truth. The BBC doesn't want us to hear it. They stifle out the voice of conscience. They stifle out the voice of Scripture. They'll let, friends, only the liberals or the extreme Catholics to speak. What a shame, friends, not to know the grace of God that brings us to repentance. Not to know the great banquet of Christ that feeds us and nourishes us and blesses us. Not to know the light of God that leads us out of self-deceit. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Here is the truth, friends, of real godliness, not a pretense, not an outward form, not just a church going for its own sake. Real godliness brings holiness. Real knowledge of the living God brings purity, brings integrity, brings a forsaking of fornication, brings a forsaking of the things that God hates and knows will wound us in Christ. There and there alone is the foundation of a happy life. In the return to the cross, to the gift of the Son of God, there is the great Lamb who takes away the impurities of our heart, washes us, cleanses us, blesses us. You know what David cried out for? In Psalm 51, after he'd messed up, he'd committed adultery, he'd murdered the husband of his dear wife-to-be, he'd done the most despicable thing, set the most appalling example. Do you know what he said? He said, "Wash my sins away." And oh, friends, here is the fountain opened up before you this morning. For a short time, don't despise it. Don't despise the goodness of God. Don't despise the patience of God. Here still is a place of washing and cleansing. David cried in Psalm 51, "You desire truth in the inward parts. You desire purity in the inward being." Friends, here is the last thing we seek after naturally. And I was just the same as many of you now, running away from the truth, running away from light, running away from the reproof of God's law, running away from the gift of repentance. But in Christ, what a gift, what a treasure, what gold to know the forgiveness of God, to know the cleansing of sin, to know the breaking of the chains. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the Hebrew Messiah. Haven't you read the Hebrew Scriptures? Don't you know, friends, go into a Jewish synagogue this morning and you'll find exactly the same Bible that you find in the Christian Old Testament. Same manuscripts, same book. And that book speaks so eloquently of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, friends, the descriptions of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament are like a video transcript. They may have been written hundreds of years before, but how detailed, how precise, how accurate a record they are of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, friends, our foolish generation neglects the wisdom of God, neglects its truth. Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Oh, friends, turn away from the sin that ruins and wrecks. Turn away, friends, from the sin that stalks the school playground. Turn away from the uncleanness that lurks in those smutty Sunday supplements you're going to indulge in tomorrow morning. Turn away from the things you see and read on the internet that will defile your spirit, wreck the image of God within you. Seek wisdom. Seek grace. Ask for purity of heart. Ask, friends, for the grace of the righteousness of the living God. For in Him is the gift of mercy. The wages of sin is death. Oh, friends, the Scriptures are so eloquent. If we give our hearts to the breaking of God's law, what do we reap? Dying, decay, corruption. If you commit sex outside of marriage, what will happen to your future family life? Death. You'll see your children wrecked and your grandchildren spoiled. Give your heart to sin, friends, and what's the outcome? Trouble and anguish and confusion of heart and an aching of spirit. Give your heart to the spiritual, to the real, to the solid, to the eternal. And in Christ, you'll find power to bless, power to wash. Oh, friends, there is no other Saviour like Him. Full of power to bless us, full of power to cleanse us and to wash us. What have you done with His warnings? What have you done with His death? What have you done with His resurrection? Who will you go to, friends, in the day of your death if you don't trust in Christ? Will you trust Muhammad? Friends, his bones are rotting in Medina. Will you go to Gautama, Siddhartha, the Buddha? Oh, friends, you'll find his confused fables and myths are a labyrinth for the soul. No peace, no light, no strength. Will you go to the Bhagavad Gita with its mutually contradictory tales? You won't find solid help. You won't find guidance to the righteousness and the standards of God. You won't find solid peace with God there, friends. Go to the Christ. Go to the Messiah. Go to the one who is the breath of our nostrils. Go to the one who is a well of life. Go to the one who is described as a fountain of life, a fountain of purity and forgiveness, a fountain of righteousness and integrity for the ungodly, for the unclean, for the foolish and for the sinful. In Christ, there is power to change us and to wash us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, not to a Catholic priest, not to a pope, not to a frail sinful man like ourselves, but to Christ, to the one appointed mediator, to the one set as the great high priest, the one who alone was without sin, then, friends, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin by the price of his own blood, by the cost of his own soul. In Christ there is power to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Friends, please don't despise the mercy and the kindness of the living God. Seek him while he's still near at hand. Here is what the prophet Isaiah says. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. What's he talking about? The righteousness and the purity of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The setting aside of sex outside of marriage. The setting aside of homosexuality. The setting aside of the perversions of the flesh. The setting aside of deceit and adultery and divorce. The setting aside of the murder of the unborn. The setting aside of unclean pride and deceitfulness and religious self-righteousness. Friends, these things will profit us nothing in the Day of Days, when we must give an account for who we are and what we've done, when we stand before the one who made us for himself, for the one who undergirds our being and upholds our spirit, the one who sustains our heartbeat from moment to moment. I wonder how many friends here this morning will be like Belshazzar in the Day of Days. You know what Belshazzar was told? The God in whose hand your very breath is, you haven't glorified. The God in whose hand your very ways are, you haven't glorified. Oh, friends, will that be your epitaph? Let it not be so. Seek wisdom. Seek grace. Seek the kindness and the mercy of the living God. Turn away from the things that defile. Turn away, friends, from theft, from stealing on taxes, from stealing on your neighbour, from stealing the things that you know you ought not to have stolen, like time at work. Turn away, friends, from the unclean, foolish things that defile the spirit, wreck the heart, make us dwarves when we ought to be giants. In Christ, there is power to wash us, to straighten us, to cleanse us, to change us. Seek him while he's still near at hand. The prophet Isaiah says this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. What's the benefit in sin, friends? Where will it get you? Where's the outcome of a godless life? You know, even the bank robbers, even the ones that the world celebrates, the great ungodly ones, what happiness, what contentment, what peace of heart do they know in this world? And look into the next and all, friends, you see torment and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Seek him while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is not niggardly. He doesn't dole out mercy in small teaspoons. In Christ is abundant power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. He's willing to take those stuck in the cesspool of sin this morning and make them pure, make them clean. He's done it in the past. He's done it so many times in the past. Wonder if you've ever sung that hymn, Amazing Grace. You know who wrote it? A man called John Newton. A man steeped in sin, steeped in uncleanness. A slave trader, a blasphemer, an unclean and a foolish man was John Newton. And yet when God took hold of his soul, shook him and brought him to his senses, what a change took place in John Newton. He wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, and he meant it. What grace there was to a sinner like John Newton, and what grace there can be to the sinners of Lewisham if only they sought. You know, the crowning sin of all is unbelief, distrust, suspicion of God, suspicion of his word. Here's the great crown of depravity, to deny God his being and his power. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In him is grace to cover all our sin. Even the vilest, even the most perverse, even the darkest, even the most crooked man or woman in Lewisham can find grace at the hands of Christ, at the cross, and be utterly transformed. Don't believe me, friends? Come along to our church down at Woodhill in Woolwich, or any of the other Bible-believing churches locally, non-conformist churches usually, those who love the Bible, and you'll find such amongst them. We know people who've been on the streets. We know people who've been slaves of addiction, slaves of drugs, utterly transformed by the grace of Christ. Why, friends, would you despise the light? Why would you despise the goodness and the patience of the living God? Seek him while he may be found. Go to him for grace and for light while he's still near to be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the patience and the magnanimity and the kindness of the living God. And yet, what do we do with him, friends? We re-crucify him to ourselves afresh. What spite, what malice lies in the human heart? And yet, friends, in spite of all the spite and malice that men could throw at Christ, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, friends, in Christ is the power of a tidal wave to change us, to wash us, and to cleanse us. Seek him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away eternal life. Don't throw away the voice of conscience. Don't throw away, friends, the gift of righteousness through the Son, through the eternal Son. In him is grace to wash, to cleanse, to bless. Here's what Isaiah says. Why do you spend your money for that which doesn't satisfy? Why are you chasing after stuff? Why are you chasing after the senses? You know what Paul says of the senses? They're ephemeral. Everything that can be seen and touched and felt passes away. Everything, friends, that's sensual is temporary, is passing. The glory of man is like a flower. It flourishes and then fades. The best of possessions is like a butterfly's wing, like the petal of a flower. Oh, friends, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Where is the real bread, friends? In the forgiveness of God, in the mercy of God, in the power of God to transform the soul, to take the most crooked and wicked and foolish of men and women and transform them. Look at Zacchaeus. There was a gangster, an extortioner, a loan shark, utterly transformed by the gift of Christ. Friends, here was a man who delighted in preying on the vulnerable and the weak, utterly transformed into a man of hospitality and generosity. You know what happens to a soul changed by the grace of Christ who is a thief? He becomes generous. Not enough to stop thieving, his soul overflows with kindness. You know what happens to a man or a woman who is a liar when they're changed by Christ? They delight in truth. They love the truth. They love to propagate it. They search it out. They correct themselves quickly. In Christ, friends, is a glorious light and power. How we've neglected it. How we've cursed him. How we've thrown the wisdom of God behind our backs. How we've trampled the cross underfoot. Friends, we will have to give an account for these things. We need his grace. Seek him and turn to him. All he calls for us, friends, is a hungry heart. All he asks for us is empty hands. Go to him for grace, for life, for washing, for power. And in him you won't find a niggardly miser. You'll find a God full of grace, full of power to bless and to wash. It's my own experience as a crooked and a foolish teenager, and it's the experience of many, many others I know. Oh, friends, what power there is in God to cleanse us and to change us. Seek him. Don't throw away your eternal soul. Don't listen to the siren voices of this evil world. Don't, friends, give your heart to the things that will pierce you through with sorrows. Don't chase after money and possessions, which will bring you down to a whole cesspool of worries and concerns. Oh, friends, those who will be rich and chase after money pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But in Christ, there is a treasure worth buying. There is the pearl beyond price worth selling all for. In Christ, there is solid peace that smiles at death. You know, friends, in the hospital where I work, I see many people week after week unprepared for death. Death catches on them unawares, sneaks through like a thief for some of them. Death comes without appointment for many of us. Are you prepared for death? Are you prepared for the moment when your body will be severed from your soul, your eternal soul, when you must give an account before God, when you must stand before the Most High? Oh, friends, not one of us is ready to give account to him by ourselves. We're all naked and poor and blind and wretched in ourselves. But in Christ, there is a full provision for us. Why? Because Christ took our sin. Christ took our wrath. Christ drank to the very dregs the bitterness of our spirits. Christ bore the awful anger of God that we deserve for what we've done and what we've said, and drank it down to the very limits. He who knew no sin was made righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for grace and for kindness while he's still near at hand. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to cleanse us, to wash us, to transform us. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, friends, God is not a miser. He's not niggardly. He loves us. He has a heart, a father's heart towards us. And yet, friends, we disown him day by day. We cast him off. We turn our backs upon him. We caricature him as he is not, in the most cruel and spiteful ways. Oh, friends, we excuse ourselves for rejecting him. God is love. Don't you know who God is? God is love. Not soft, lustful love of the kind that we celebrate in the world. A love that warns. A love that cares. A love that is jealous, like a husband over his wife. A love that watches. A love that warns. Oh, friends, God is love. And those who don't know love don't know God. Here is, friends, the test of real religion. A man who says he knows God but he doesn't love. He's empty. He's barren. He's weak. He's enslaved by the philosophies of the world. And oh, friends, don't we so often see it in radical Islam? I've lived in a Muslim country. I've known and loved many Muslims. But oh, friends, the more radical they get, the further they go from God. The more radical they get, the further they depart from the standards of righteousness. And it's the same with Judaism too. But it's not so with Christ. The closer you get to Christ, the more you get like him. Those who follow him, oh, friends, look, our history is glittering with figures like that. Look at William Wilberforce. Look at George Whitfield. Look at John and Charles Wesley. Men after whose names streets and roads are named in abundance in our country. Look at their lives. Look at the way that Christ changed those sinners and washed them and cleansed them and exalted them. And do you think he hasn't done the same in our generation? Oh, friends, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. I'm not going to stop, I'm afraid.
Just for a second. Are we in Daniel 2 or are we in Ecclesiastes 11?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Ecclesiastes 11 is...
I don't know the answer. I'll have to read them later.
Yeah. Daniel 2, I think we're in that now. We're going to bang it all again. So they get to know that Christ is Lord.
Bye-bye, my friend. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ and in him you'll find power to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, there is the fountain of life. There is the pearl beyond price. There is the treasure hidden in a field. You know, even Tolkien says, all that is gold does not glitter. And here is the surpassing gold. And yet we saw him, and there was no beauty in him. No form that we should desire him. Here is the greatest celebrity of all. He had no Facebook page. He had no outward demeanor. He had no outward charisma. Oh, friends, and yet in that Christ, in that hidden gold, in that glorious pearl without price, are all the treasures of heaven hidden. In Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. In him is the incarnate Word. In him, friends, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Don't you know him? Don't you know his power? Don't you know his warnings? You know, you don't really have many choices when it comes to the testimony of Christ. Christ makes such blunt warnings, such blunt statements about himself. You can either say he's a madman, you can either dismiss him as a liar, or you can bow at his feet. Christ doesn't leave us many options, friends. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the light of this dark world. Friends, why do you prefer darkness? Why do you prefer excuses? Why do you prefer a lie? Why are you going to die with a lie in your right hand? In Christ is the reproof of sin, the warning against sin. In the Lord Jesus Christ is power to cleanse us and to bless us, power to set us straight. You know what the Apostle Paul said when he described his mission? He said this, God sent me to turn them from the power of darkness to the light of the kingdom of God. Don't you know darkness has its power? Darkness has its grip. Darkness has a kind of octopus tentacle around us. Oh, friends, we love darkness, don't we? We prefer to live in willful ignorance. We prefer to live without reproof. We prefer not to know God's warnings and God's truth. But in the gift of Christ, in his mercy and in his kindness, there, friends, and there alone is power to wash us, and to cleanse us and to change us. Seek him while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found. And in him is grace to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his great kindness? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read to you two words of the prophet where he says this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Today's the day when the sands are sinking, when the door is still closing, when the opportunity is still here. Seek him. Seek out the truth. Don't be content to swallow second-hand propaganda. Don't be content, friends, to go down to hell with all the rest of this generation. Don't be content to go the broad path to destruction. Seek out wisdom. Seek out understanding. Seek out spiritual perception. Seek out the meaning and the purpose of life. Ask him, friends, for judgment. Ask him for understanding of your own heart, of your own wickedness. Ask him to unveil to you the excuses of your own heart. Ask him to show you who you really are in the searchlight of his being. Don't you know the commandments? Don't you know God's requirements? Oh, friends, every one of them we've shattered. Every one of them we've broken. Everyone, even the smallest of us, by nature, runs astray, runs away from the living God. All we are like sheep who've gone astray, and yet the Lord has laid on him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. If only we'd come, if only we'd taste, if only we'd see how gracious the living God is toward us. In him is life and grace. You're welcome to take it if you want to. In him is life and grace to wash us and to cleanse us. I can't, I'm afraid. Thank you, I can't. In him and in him alone is grace and kindness to wash and to cleanse us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's still near. Draw near to him, friends, and he'll draw near to you. Oh, friends, how patient, how gracious, how kind he is toward us. We need that washing. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God bless you. I'm sorry, I haven't got, that's a rather strong leaflet. You might find it interesting. God bless. Bye bye now. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just on account of the Son, on account of the blood price of the scapegoat, on account of the redeeming price laid down by the Lamb of God to break the chains of our pride, to break the chains of our lust, and to set us free. Oh, friends, why would you be like the Israelites, preferring the slavery of Egypt to the liberty of the sons of God? Why would you love to live a slave of the flesh, a slave of the senses, a slave of the prince of darkness, rather than know the purpose of life, rather than know the gift of the living God? In Christ, there is liberty to wash us, power to cleanse us, power to set us free. I wonder, friends, if you've heard of this whole Puddle Martyrs. Do you know the head of them, George Lovelace, is a Christian man. He was a Methodist lay preacher. And George Lovelace, friends, spoke of the great oppression of the landowning class of his time. And oh, friends, we can look at today's generation as very similar. Slaves of the great landowner. Slaves of the great darkness. Slaves of Satan. Slaves of the prince of the power of the air. Slaves of the deceitful puppet master of this evil generation. Friends, break free. Seek Christ. Seek washing. Seek the grace of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. For the real test comes here, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you can tell a hypocrite from a real Christian by their life. This is what John says. He who says that he knows him, but doesn't love and keep his commandments, is a liar. Somebody who loves Christ follows him. You know, the Lord Jesus said to his own generation, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? Why do you chase after sex outside of marriage? Why do you ruin your own eternal heart? Why do you ruin your soul? Why do you sear your conscience? You call me Lord, Lord, he says. But why don't you do the things that I say? In Christ is the power to cleanse us from sin, to make us what we are not, to make us closer to what we ought to be, an image of the living God, an image of his purity and his holiness, an image of his humility and his kindness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read to you two simple words from the Gospels and from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says this: I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Oh, friends, why does Christ say that? Is Christ just pretending to fill out some sort of spiritual satisfaction hole within us? No, friends. He knows how to wash our sins away. He knows how to break the chains of our lusts. Yeah. He knows how to deliver us from the clutches of Satan. He knows how to change us and to challenge us. I'm not going to stop, my lady, I'm afraid. Seek him while he's still near at hand. In him is the bread of life, the feast, the banquet for our souls. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the one, friends, in whom alone is deliverance and cleansing and purity of heart. Why, friends, would you live a dupe? Why would you live a puppet of the flesh? Why would you live for godlessness? What's the outcome of a life lived for sin? What's the benefit in living a sinful life? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, go to him, and your life will never be the same again. Your heart will be changed. Know that gift of the Holy Spirit, friends. Know that wonderful purification from sin, given through the new birth, given through the receipt of his word in meekness. And oh, friends, your life will never be the same again. Why would you throw away light and grace and hope? Why would you live for futility and confusion? Why would you live for the darkness of this present evil world? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He paid the debt in his own body, with his own wounds, with his own blood. He paid the penalty that we owe. Friends, will you pay it yourself? Will you really pay in full the full penalty of your own sin? Will you, friends, face the living God in the searchlight of his brightness, a consuming fire of holiness, and give account for your own sins and endure the punishment for them yourselves? Flee from the anger to come. Flee from the anger and the wrath of God to come. Seek his mercy. Ask for his washing. Seek his cleansing and his healing within. In Christ is the great physician of spirits. In the Lord Jesus Christ is power to change us and to wash us. What foolishness rules our present generation. Oh, friends, eternity will not be long enough to show the folly and the madness and the craziness of our so well-educated generation, so ignorant of basic realities, so ignorant of sin, so ignorant of God, so ignorant of how to raise children in a godly way, so ignorant of how to hold together a long-term relationship. How ignorant, friends, how foolish of wisdom and righteousness and purity of heart. Oh, friends, don't you realise we live in a cesspool of a society given over to vice? If Christ called his own generation sinful and adulterous, how much more he'd say it of our own. You know, in his own generation, the Lord said, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for Chorazin and Bethsaida. You think he won't say it of our generation too, friends? We're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than Admah and Zeboim, the cities of the plain. And oh, friends, you think those Bible accounts are myths? Go down to the valley of the Dead Sea, smell the sulphur, see the million or so tombs of the once prosperous city-states in the valley of the Dead Sea. And oh, friends, you'll realise the horrifying truth of God's warnings. We need grace. We need washing. More than any other generation before us, this is a dangerous and a perilously sinful generation. We need repentance. We need warning, friends. And we need the gift of God to return. What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your chastity? What have you done with your sexual purity? Wasted away? Thrown it on the bonfire of this present evil generation? Seek wisdom. Seek grace. Oh, friends, if you're a young person here this morning, guard yourselves until marriage. What folly. What carelessness. To give away your own sexual purity before marriage. Oh, friends, even the government health statistics warn against it. Even health, friends, shows how foolish and ugly a thing it is to commit sex outside of marriage. How it spoils the soul, wrecks the conscience, debases and degrades us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ is power to wash us. Whatever you've been, however foolish, however far you've fallen, in Christ is power to draw you back. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Why would you live for the flesh? Why would you live for the senses? Why would you live for the here and now? A dupe, just a higher animal, a creature of the senses, unaware of the spiritual, unaware of the eternal, unaware of the unseen powers and realm, unaware, friends, of the invisible powers that dominate and rule our society. Are you a puppet? Are you a dupe? Are you a mole and a bat this morning? Friends, wake up. Needn't be so. Ask for the light of conviction of sin. Ask for the fear of God. Ask for wisdom within. Ask for an understanding of your own wickedness. Ask for an understanding of God's requirements and his purity. Hear those great commandments. You know, friends, there are many of us here this morning that don't even know the Ten Commandments, let alone try to keep them. And yet these are the standards by which we will be judged. Here is the weighing scale by which we will be weighed. How will you give an account, friends, of your sin, of your uncleanness, if you don't know his kindness, don't know his purity, don't know the standards to which he will call us? You know, the very first of the commandments is this: you shall have no other gods before me. In Christ, in the Lord God, is more than we could ever need. In God is our portion, our life, our treasure, an eternal inheritance. You know, when Abraham forsook the wealth of kings, God said to him at the night, "I am your exceedingly great reward, Abraham. I am your portion." And oh, friends, what need do we have for little gods? What need do we have to worship idols and celebrities, sportsmen and pop singers? These are the ones that will ruin us. Look at their examples. Look at the misery in their hearts. Look at their ripped up families. Look at the sorrow of their spirits. Look at the bondage into which they're leading themselves and all their followers. Oh, friends, you shall have no other gods before me. And the second commandment is like it. Don't depict God. Don't draw him down to the size of your imagination. Don't contract him down into a span. Don't demean God. Don't debase God by depicting him. But you know, every false religion, including Islam, demeans God by depicting him. What do the Muslims bow down to 5 times a day? A black image of the female genitalia. Don't believe me? Friends, read Wikipedia. What a shame, what a disgrace. Every false religion, whether it's Catholicism or Buddhism or Hinduism or even some variants of Judaism, worship images and idols. Oh, friends, it's a great sin to bring God down to our level, to demean him, to depict him, to debase him, to call him an image, to worship him through the focus of a statue or a picture. What an insult. What a great blasphemy. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In Christ you'll find the true image of God. In Christ you'll find the brightest depiction of who God is and what he is like. Here is God's own depiction of himself. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Look at Christ, friends, and you'll see the severity of God. Look at him taking that scourge of ropes and casting out the sellers from the temple, and you'll see God's anger, a brief glimpse. See him in Isaiah 63, trampling his enemies underfoot, and you'll see the anger of God. See him at the cross, and you'll see the meekness and the patience of God. Don't depict God in your own image. Don't drag him down to your own imagination. Don't constrain him to your own tastes. What a sinful thing it is to worship an image or to bow down to an idol. Oh, friends, but our society is filled with idols. The idols of cars, automobiles, and footballs, and the balls of our wicked generation. We need grace. We need washing. We need to see God through the prism of his word, to understand him through the image of his dear son. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for washing. Ask him for cleansing. The third great commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But oh, friends, here's the threshold of God. Here's the place of entry, of access into God's presence. And yet how lightly, how carelessly we take the name of God as a swear word, as a curse. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God's name is something sacred, something holy, something to be esteemed, something to be valued. But oh friends, if you take God's name and you trample it underfoot, where will you be? He won't hold you guiltless. He marks. He knows. He watches. But you know, the third commandment just doesn't just cover blasphemy. It also covers vain worship. For us to go into God's presence with a few sops of conscience and say, I've gone for Easter, I've gone for Christmas, I've gone for the Bar Mitzvah, I've gone for the Eid. Friends, it will not do. It will not do. God requires us to worship him with a full heart. Not to take his name in vain. Not to worship him with an empty heart. You know, the great curse of our generation is to have a form of godliness but deny its power. Not to know the power of godliness. Not to know the power of cleansing. Not to know the washing and the cleansing of the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for washing. Ask him for cleansing. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Friends, what are you going to do tomorrow? George Osborne sadly has violated his great commandment by liberalising or planning to liberalise the laws. And our government, friends, is setting itself against the face of God. Remember the holy day. Remember the day on which God brought us into being. Remember the day. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember God. Don't forget him. Don't despise him. Don't neglect him. Oh, friends, what a foolish thing it is to neglect her own father. What a foolish thing it is to neglect the own shepherds. What a dangerous thing it is to neglect the very foundation of the building. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near hand. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here is something vital. Here is something precious. And yet, friends, our wicked generation neglects the Sabbath. Neglects the Lord's Day. Neglects the rest that God has prescribed for us. Neglects to seek him and to remember him. What a big mistake. What a grave mistake to chase after shopping. You know, don't you find, friends, people these days love to do anything on Sunday rather than seek the Lord's face, rather than worship, rather than know his power, rather than know his grace. Any distraction will do. The boot sale may be selling junk, but that's better than going to church, better than hearing God's warnings, better than hearing God's promises, better than hearing about God's goodness. Give me any old rubbish rather than to know about the living God. What a deep mistake, friends. What a tragic mistake to lose the pearl of great price and gain just a shell, just an emptiness. To live for futility, to live for confusion, to live for darkness, to love darkness, to revel in it. What folly, friends, not to know the gift of God that leads us to repentance, leads us to life, leads us to washing and to cleansing. Why would we prefer filth, friends? The fifth commandment, remember, honour your father and your mother, for so your days shall be long upon the earth. But friends, how many days without number have you forgotten the eternal Father, the Father of fatherhood, the eternal Father, the Father who watches, the Father who provides, the Father who warns, the Father who instructs, the Father of fathers himself. How long have we neglected him? Friends, we've violated every one of these 10 commandments, have we not? The sixth commandment, you shall not kill. We say, perhaps I've never murdered. But haven't you hated? Haven't you harboured gossip? Haven't you harboured malice? Haven't you killed the unborn child? Friends, we are murderers, every one of us. We have the stain of the blood of the innocent on our hands. We need washing. We need cleansing. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which one of us, friends, can say I am pure and my heart is clean? Which one of us can say I've washed my soul from the stain of pride? We need grace. We need washing. We need the gift of the cross, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is that glorious fountain of life, opened up for sin and uncleanness. Don't forsake your own eternal hope. Don't forsake the purpose of life. Don't forsake the warning of God before it's too late. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for light, and for understanding of your own heart and of your neighbours. Go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is eternal love. In him is eternal strength. In him is purity and power to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us. Again, the words, the seventh commandment. And oh friends, how needful this commandment is to us. You shall not commit adultery. Do you know in a strange way God judges himself by his own commandments? Do you know in a strange way God measures himself by his own commandments? God is utterly faithful. When he warns us of hell, he's not kidding. He's not joking. He's not exaggerating. When he promises us heaven, when he promises eternal life through the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing of the Spirit, he doesn't exaggerate. Oh, friends, God cannot lie. He cannot die and he cannot lie. Men love to make him a liar. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We love to make him a liar. We love to belie God, to belittle God, to do away with him. But our friends, the truth will find us out. Our sin will find us out before long. We need grace. We need reality. We need the cleansing power and the gift of the living God through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But our friends, Christ said of his own generation, this is a sinful and an adulterous generation. You know, sex is a wonderful gift, a holy gift, a pure gift, a gift that gives us a glimpse of what God himself is like. But we defile it when we commit it outside of marriage. Sex outside of marriage is like you're eating your breakfast off the street. It's vile, it's sinful, it's unclean, it's harmful, it's damaging to the family, damaging to the children that issue from that union. Sex outside of marriage defiles us, wrecks us, ruins us, debases the conscience, makes us coarse and insensitive. Oh, friends, manifold warnings are given in the Scripture about the physical and the emotional and the spiritual consequences of sex outside of marriage. Solomon warns it's a wound in the spirit, a wound in the soul. No wonder our generation is calloused and hard towards God. No wonder our generation is so insensitive, so debased, so undignified, so unsensitive to the things it ought to know. Friends, we need the gift of God. We need his washing. However sinful, however dark, however foolish our hearts have been, in Christ is power to cleanse us, to wash us, to change us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Friends, what a reproach, what a stain on the soul, what a wound in the heart, in the home, and in the family. Solomon says the man who commits a thief, a theft, he'll be pardoned for it, but the man or the woman who commits adultery violates the most sacred oaths of all. What a disgrace, what a wound, what a shame, what an ugly thing. Friends, you know why it's unworthy for any man or woman who holds office to commit adultery? Because if their own partner can't trust them with solemn promises, how can you trust them on anything else? If they lie in something so serious, so deep, so personal, how can you trust their integrity on anything else? A man or a woman who in high office who commits adultery is not worthy to bear it, no longer. Friends, the heart of our society is founded upon integrity. The foundation of our society is based on virtue. Despise that, friends, and the whole society collapses. The whole integrity of the structure rots from within. Don't we see it? Don't we see it? With clear eyes, friends, we see the great pillars demolishing and destroying. Go back to Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us, to deliver us from the chains of sin, to make us what we are not in Christ. There is the gift of God to bless us, to feed us, to nourish us. What are you feeding your soul on this morning, friends? The junk food of this evil generation? The McDonald's of this present evil society? You know what happens to a child who feeds on junk food and milkshake all day long? They go fat and they have no muscle and they have no bone. What better description could there be of our present society? No moral muscle, no spiritual backbone, no integrity, no virtue. Our hearts are like a garden full of thorns, unclean and defiled before God. A cesspool of sin. We need washing. We need cleansing. We need the power of the cross and of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You think forgiveness of God comes cheap? No, friends. It comes at the very costliest of prices. The price was the blood, and not any blood. Not just the blood of man, but the blood of the Son of God. The blood of the Eternal Son is the price paid for sin. You think you'll escape it in your own efforts, by your own religion, by your own self-righteousness? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, friends, here this morning is a wonderful fountain of life to wash us, to cleanse us from within, to make us more like the living God, to transform us into his image, to clothe us with righteousness, to deliver us from the cruel grip of pride and selfishness. Friends, taste that new birth. Taste the power of the Holy Spirit. Taste the gift of the Word of God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand.
Heal my hip pain, please.
I can't, but I can heal your heart. If you trust him and go to him, he'll help you. Not the hip, but the heart. The heart. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar. What a professional activity for our generation. God has lied. God hasn't commanded. God doesn't exist. God hasn't warned. God hasn't declared the danger of hell. God hasn't declared the danger of sex outside of marriage. But he has, friends. He has. You can belie him all you like, but God warns us with his own spirit in his own being. And oh, friends, till the day of days, that warning siren will sound. That warning trumpet will sound. If you won't turn, if you won't hear, let me say this to you tenderly and gently. Your blood is on your own head. Your guilt is on your own soul. Seek him while he may be found. Go to him while he's still near at hand. Flee from the anger to come. Oh, friends, only this morning I was hearing about the American ship Indianapolis. There it was, sailing through the Pacific Ocean, and then bang, two great Japanese torpedoes and the great ship, all 900 feet of it sank. What about the ship of your soul? You like a Titanic, friends, going across the sea with a band playing, happily ignoring God, ignoring his warnings this morning, and then bang, down goes the ship with all aboard. Friends, seek wisdom while it may be found. Don't set your concrete, your foundations, in quicksand. Don't set the foundation of your soul in the quicksand of human righteousness. Don't set the foundations of your spirit in the foundations of human philosophy or a vain hope of personal righteousness. Seek Christ. Seek the Lamb of God. Seek him, and in him find all the wisdom and all the power and all the might of the living God. Friends, like Aragorn, this gold doesn't glitter. There is no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. In Christ is a price beyond paying. A pearl beyond treasure. In Christ is the Alpha and the Omega of God's will. In the Messiah, the Hebrew Messiah, there is the Aleph to the Tau of God's kindness and power. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, don't forsake your own mercy. Don't trust in lying vanities. Ask him for grace and for kindness while he's still near at hand. For his sake. Amen.